Welcome to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions. This is the prelude to the Thousand Thrones Warhammer Fantasy Battle or Roleplay 2nd Edition campaign, which we're upscaling to 3rd Edition. I'm Jesse Burke, your GM. To my right, we have Chris.
Hello.
Jeremy.
Hello.
Nate.
Hey.
And then to my far right, also known as my left, we have Layla.
Hi.
And a small but vicious dog. So the Thousand Thrones adventure. This is a... It's actually a full campaign. Whether we'll do the entire thing or not, we'll kind of see how it goes, but this is part one of the campaign. And I have a little intro here for you guys before we get started into how you guys fold into the adventure. It is the middle period of the Emperor Karl Franz's reign. The Empire teeters on the brink of collapse. The horrors of the recent Chaos Incursion, dubbed the Storm of Chaos, have left the lands of Sigmar reeling. The North is in ruin, cities smoking, corpses left unburied, and beastmen, mutants, and the remnants of Archaon's army lurk in the shadows of these once great lands. Refugees inundate the western cities, seeking food and protection, and the rippling effect of the Great War can be felt at all levels of Empire society. Even the Cult of Sigmar is suffering great upheavals. In the early stages of the incursion, the Grand Theogonist Volkmar led a force of into the Chaos Waste to defeat the Archaon Everchosen before he could mount an offensive. Fearing the worst when he failed to return, the cult scrambled to place another in Volkmar's post and unite the peoples of the Empire beneath the banner of their faith. But then, in the midst of the fighting, Volkmar returned, apparently resurrected. Once the forces of Chaos were thrown back from the walls of Middenheim, the returned Volkmar laid claim to his title once more. The Cult of Sigmar is thus unstable, and new religious cults are formed almost daily. There's a very palpable sense across the land that if the Empire recovers from this turmoil, it will be a very different place. So. Cue dramatic music, and it's interesting, these 2nd edition adventures are written so differently than the 3rd edition ones. Like, in one way I love it, in another way there's so much information it's kind of hard to process. But this adventure takes place in a city called Marienburg. And Marienburg is on the far west of the Empire, up in the top left, and borders the Sea of Claws. And it is the primary route that trade enters the Empire along the Reichland River. And there's some history to Marienburg, which we can get into in a little while, but the gist of it is that Marienburg used to be part of the Empire, and it is no longer, and not everybody's happy about that. Marienburg is what's called a free state, and they seceded from the Empire at some point, much to the Empire's chagrin. So they've kind of come to relative terms about it now, and there's no longer a big problem, but there was a huge problem with that in Marienburg's past, and the Empire's past. And because of that, Marienburg is not a Sigmar-faring population. It was at one point, and as part of their secession from the Empire, they really rely more on the seafaring gods and the things that bring them their actual income. Sigmar is actually a very, if you were to rank him on like 1 to 10 as far as power, he's very, very low on the totem pole. Marienburg is one of those cities where like capitalism at its core. So while there are social tiers, it's one of those places where if you have the gumption and you have the wherewithal to make yourself something, even a lowly peasant can be a power player in Marienburg. It doesn't have anything to do with where you're born into. So with that, Marienburg has a very significant elf quarter. The elves have actually built a small city within the city, or attached to the city, and the high elves do a lot of trade there, and this is kind of their main entry point into the realm of man. So, Jeremy, your character, who is?
Valgar Kane.
Valgar Kane, who is an apprentice swordmaster.
Yes.
nearing the end of your training,
mm-hmm.
and I believe what we spoke about is your character has just arrived via ship from Ulthuan.
Yes.
And are entering Marienburg, and this is your first time in the Empire, and you've learned about it, but this is, you know, your kind of first experience. And you've been here, let's say, a couple weeks at this point,
okay.
You know, getting yourself acclimated. You've stayed within the quarter, but you haven't ventured out much. And we'll pick up from there in a moment. Nate. What's your character's name?
Working on it.
We're working on it. Okay. To be determined.
Leo. His name is Leo.
Leo. And is Leo from the Empire?
He's from Marienburg.
Okay, so you're a native.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be our good kind of folklore person for this as we kind of learn history. Most people may learn it through you.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about how your introduction got started, and I'll kind of pick it up from there.
So Leo is the son of a wealthy noble who has lots of...
So is he actually a wealthy noble, or is he a wealthy merchantman? Or because considering the economics of Marienburg?
A noble who has significant, you know, trade business. So that's where he gets his wealth from, is, you know, like most people from the sea, right? bleeding the trade, you know, as it flows into the empire. And Leo is a third son of his father, and so trying to make a name for himself, he is decided to join the Pistol Corps and you know, help defend Marienburg.
Okay. So I'm going to say you've been with the Pistoliers for a short while, but an opportunity has come up that might allow you to proceed beyond that a little bit and open up some new avenues for you, and your father has encouraged you to take this.
Third son, I don't have many options, so...
Yeah. And we'll get into what that is in a moment, but you haven't really established yourself as a pistolier, so you're not leaving behind too much yet.
Okay.
But you do have your connections there. And then, Layla, let's move over to you.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about...
So my character's name is Edwig. She's a witch, but is purely self-taught, likes to dabble in a lot of different areas, has a really strong drive to just, like, learn as much as she can, and to perfect as much as she can. But she's not a fan of institutions, so she's not interested in being part of a college, and she's also not a fan of material possessions, so she's pretty poor. She lives on the streets. She doesn't like to be tied down to anything, but really just wants to soak up as much as she can from her environment and where she is. She's originally from Bretonnia, and she's been in Marienburg for a little while now. Kind of watches the sidelines of life, you know, like she's familiar with that.
So did you come to Bretonnia in hopes of, like, upping your status, or is it like a land of opportunity for you, or is it something different?
It's less land of opportunity and more opportunity to learn various skills, because there's such, like, a diversity of people there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's drawn mostly to that. She doesn't want money, but she wants knowledge and experience.
Okay, I think that'll work well. So I'll probably touch on yours either first or last. I haven't decided yet. But as far as starting spot, you're in the city kind of doing your daily life, which I think is kind of the peasant
mm-hmm.
kind of life, and you're watching and just kind of learning and making ends meet, nothing really above and beyond that right now.
Yeah, like I keep myself alive. I have more money in my pocket than I spend or look like I have. I'm just not interested in, like, necessarily
and do
quarters.
You and you have some magical abilities. Are those things you use, or are those things you keep hidden, or what is your
I mostly
state?
Keep them to myself.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty discreet about them. Oh, and I have a familiar.
Okay. And it's a rodent.
It's a mouse.
Okay.
It's a little
does it have
white,
a name?
It's a little white mouse. Georgie.
All right. And then Chris.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your agitator friend.
So Neffen is a Marienburg local. He's from here. He's born a peasant, still a peasant. Spends a lot of time running with sort of a, not like heavy criminal group, but like fast talkers, pickpockets, gamblers, that kind
okay.
of thing. So he knows people in, you know, like I said, that sort of the underworld, but I don't know, like, smugglers or anything like that, but So, you know, in card houses, taverns, things like that, he's just sort of a natural learner, and he's got a quick wit and a charm that people seem to be moved by, and so he tends to get his way. He's able to talk himself into free meals here and there, and just kind of is able to get by on wit and charm. But while running around with these same group of ne'er-do-wells, at some point actually encountered a real Skaven, and has since been proclaiming their authenticity loud and to anybody to listen, and found himself imprisoned for such activity.
All right. So you, I'm sorry, you said at the end there that you've gotten yourself in trouble and are now...
Basically, by speaking out what I believe to be the truth and trying to warn people of this horrible, not even like out of some sense of social good, but like in the taverns, anybody that would listen, and eventually because of my charm, enough
so
people were buying into it that I became like a problem, and so.
So you're spending, you've already spent a couple nights in kind of a local jail, in like a sheriff's office,
mm-hmm.
Barred up, and without trial, you've been sentenced to spend an undetermined amount of time in the local quarry.
A likely outcome.
So
as I expected.
Your dagger obviously has been taken away.
Sure.
You can keep your clothing there, but
this is hidden in a tree stump somewhere around the. I know where it is.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Your tree money.
Yeah, your tree money was not on you at that moment. And
you've
been
the man
there.
Was coming.
You've been there a few days. You've made a few contacts. It's a rough existence there. The it's just outside of town, and Marienburg, just to give you guys a sense of the land, is a very large city, not unlike. Situated not unlike Venice in a lot of ways. It's a lot of islands with buildings upon buildings stacked upon it, with waterways in between them all, with rickety bridges and whatnot connecting them all, as this like big kind of delta like flows down into the main river. Outside of Marienburg is a lot of marshland, lots of marshland, and this quarry is one of the few dry places where they harvest some of the stone to repair and build the city. You've been there now several days.
So
and
I'll just say that I would have definitely, out of self-preservation, tried to sidle up to at least one other prisoner to be buddy-buddy, and whichever guard seems to be the least acerbic,
mm-hmm.
I would have also tried to at least, you know, be friendly enough that they don't hit me in the head when I walk by, that kind of thing, and just
okay.
Try and, you know, that's the one good guard.
There is, you may have made friends with the guards, but there's definitely the one guy who's, like, running the show there. He's a big guy, he doesn't wear a shirt, he's overweight, and he's, like, he's got that tone of skin where he's, like, been out in the sun for too long. He's kind of hairy, but, like, splotchy hairy.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries around a whip, and occasionally people get the backside of that. You've been fortunate enough to kind of stay clear of that and him, but you know he's around.
Okay.
So let's come back around to Nate here. Now, Nate, you're this opportunity I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Your father brings you in one night, and he says, "I'd like you to meet somebody." And where are you here? Okay, he'd like you to meet someone, and you come into the study and you sit down. And there's a man who you immediately recognize as a witch hunter. This is not, you've never personally met one, or if you have, he more or less fits the bill, but he sits down, he seems calm, he seems collected,
mm-hmm.
And your father says, "This is Roderick. He's a witch hunter from the Empire. He's visiting our fair city." And Roderick looks at you and kind of, he's sizing you up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Roderick kind of looks at your father and says, "Yeah, that'll do nicely." And your father looks at you and says, "Roderick Tyr has asked for your services."
"Sure, anything I can do to help."
So your father says, "Well, I'll leave you two to talk for a bit, and you know, son, come talk to me before you leave." And your father leaves, and Roderick tells you that he's on business here in Marienburg, chasing down a rogue witch. However, some events have transpired over the last several days that lead him to need some added help. And he's being forced to hire some individuals to help him take on a couple extra tasks while he's in town. And he believes that you would be a good addition to it.
Oh, excellent.
And he says that he'll be happy to explain more along the way. And he says to meet him outside when you're ready.
Great.
We're leaving tonight.
Let me gather my things.
All right. So he walks outside. Your father's waiting by the stairs and says, I already know what he was going to say. I think this is a good opportunity for you to spread your wings in town and maybe even beyond. I think you're going to learn far more for our family and for yourself than here in Marienburg and with the Pistoliers.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity, Father.
All right, then he hands you the pistol.
Ooh.
And says, good luck. And, all right, so you head off.
Yep.
And you and Roderick begin walking down the street. And Roderick says, there is, you're going to represent the muscle of this expedition. But we need a little bit more than that. We're going to need someone with a little more subterfuge, so to speak. So I'd like you to please go. He hands you the location of what appears to be a quarry or a mine outside of town. And he says to, I have someone there who I need you to speak with. And here's a bit of money. And I need you to find a way to get this person out of there. I need his help.
Okay.
And he sends you off. And he tells you to meet him at the inn. He gives you a nearby inn just down the street from where you live. It's in the. It's a place just outside of the Winkelmarkt, which is a section of town.
The what now?
The Winkelmarkt.
The Winkelmarkt.
The Winkelmarkt.
I will head off.
To the Winkelmarkt.
No.
The quarry.
I'm sorry, the Winkelmarkt. Marked.
Marked.
The Winkelmarkt. so the anyway, so he you head off to the quarry.
Yes.
And you're heading out there. It is it's afternoon time. You'll easily get there before dark. Let's go over to Jeremy.
I spend my way there trying to read the notes.
Well, so you're still an illiterate.
Yes.
Never quite
I don't
got there.
My letters yet. Yeah.
Well, then he was kind enough to draw some pictures for you as you explained that to him, which is not uncommon. That's a very common thing to have
right.
done, because most citizens don't speak or don't read or write. So, Jeremy, you are in the Elven district. Now, the High Elves, who are dubbed the Sea Elves by the human citizens of Marienburg, have long lived there, and they use this. The elves use this city as their gateway for dealing with the Empire and much of the rest of the Old World. And you kind of live in kind with locals, and you have this elven district. But the elves tend to be pretty reclusive and don't deal much outside of their area unless necessary. They deal with their own laws, everything else. You have your own elders. I just lost his name. I just had it. Here. So there is one of the leaders of the elf quarter named Avatil Foamstrider. Mm-hmm. He calls you in to his chambers this afternoon. And you come in, he welcomes
okay.
you in, and he says, as you may have recognized over the past several days here, the city has been flush with these peasants and humans from the wars being driven west, and the city was but bursting not a couple days ago. Now, I've heard rumors that certain sections of town have all but emptied within the last couple days. It doesn't make any sense. Something's going on. And as part of your final training here, I want you to investigate what's happening with this crusade, is what it's being called. And the Crusade of the Child is what I've heard.
Okay.
And I want you to see what's happening, learn about it, and figure out what's happening and report back to us. And I
okay.
can tell you the place to start would be the Winkelmarkt.
Okay.
The Winkelmarkt is supposedly the starting spot of this crusade. But mind you, they've already left the city, but I believe that's the place to start.
Okay. I'll say I'm on it.
Are there old people that greet you when you walk into the Winkelmarkt?
I don't know. We'll
I'm
see.
Just wondering.
Maybe. All right.
The people who get you at the Winkelmarkt?
The Winkelmarkt?
A couple hundred years. It's going to turn into something else.
All right.
The
now.
Roll back.
So as the... he gives you a particular, like, plaza within
okay.
the Winkelmarkt to kind of to start, And he says, rest up tonight. We'll gather your equipment. We'll do some ceremonial rites before you head out. And then tomorrow morning, see what you can learn.
Okay, sounds good.
So as the afternoon rolls on, Nate, you arrive
Leo
at the quarry.
Leo Van Kaufman?
Yeah.
Leo Van Kaufman?
Yeah.
All right. Leo arrives at the quarry, and it is... you can't see much of it from the surface, but as you kind of work your way up the hill a little bit, the hill almost all but disappears into the rock as it is a large depression. And you see in there, just up from the edges as you approach, and there's, what, for lack of a better word, slave labor being done down there with picks, axes, and shovels, and ropes, and people breaking big stones into small ones, people shaving and carving larger stones into blocks, and mules and stuff dragging them out. It's dusty. But otherwise, there's a large shack up on the top, a small building that appears to be what is in charge of the area.
Okay, I will head over there.
All right, and you do. And over there, you come up upon it, and it appears empty. Everything's like locked. Everything's not locked up, but everything's closed and dark inside.
I'll just walk right up to the door and bang on the door.
All right, you bang on the door, and no sounds come from inside, but. You hear from down below somewhere in there that someone's like, "Hey, boss, someone's banging on the door." And you hear someone further down yell it. And then about 5 or 6 minutes later, you see this big guy, this big gutted guy kind of stumble up, and he's got his like leather whip like thrown over his shoulder. And he's like, "Y'all, what do you want?"
"I'm here for somebody."
"Well, who?"
"This person." All right.
And it has a name written on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the name of Chris,
Nefin.
Which is Nefin. And it has a brief description of Nefin. And the guard kind of like looks at it and goes, "It might be here."
"Do you have a roster?"
"Yeah."
"Well, let's look at your roster.
Are you
going to
be able to read it?"
"I can match the symbol. Maybe get something close."
Yeah, match game.
He looks, you can tell immediately that he does not want to do this, and he would, this is not a good use of his time, he feels.
"Well, I'm here on the business of a witch hunter. So..."
"Will that be a witch hunter from the Empire?"
"Yeah."
He like hawks and spits on the ground and says, "That's great."
"I've heard they a nasty business."
"In the Empire."
"Hmm. Well, maybe I can make it worth your time."
Then he kind of looks up and he says, "Now we're talking."
"Okay, I'll give him half of whatever coins I have."
All right, he looks at you give him like a couple silver.
Yeah.
He's like, and he gestures you inside, and he pulls out this big book and opens it up. And the writing in it is childish at best. And he starts looking through it, and he's like... And he's trying to sound out some of the words in there, and it's not really happening, but, like, it's...
So this will quickly devolve into both of us sitting here trying to, like, do match the symbols, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, trying to play the part, but he's obviously not the bookkeeper, or if he was, he's taken over it, and he's not really handling it as well as you might, like, imagine bookkeeper.
Yeah.
But after some time, you do find some version of Nefim following that similar description is in there being sent into the quarry less than a week ago.
Where's this guy? Where's this person?
And he looks, and there's a number etched on it next to him. And he's like, "Oh, he's near the rock chipping quarry." And so he says, "I'll show you."
Okay.
And he you follow him down there, and he like lumbers and stuff down. He's got like a big like furry belt thing. You can see his butt and sweating. It's just totally foul. But you follow him down there, and... And the sun's setting, you're into the shade now, and you come across and
by the way, I'm totally not chipping rocks. I've already charmed my way into like carrying the water around all the other slaves.
Water boy.
So Nefim is down there, but you guys don't immediately follow him. This guy gets down there, and we'll call him Brutus for now. And Brutus gets to the place where you're supposed to be, and he starts looking around. And then you hear, lo and behold, here you come,
doling
like,
out my little ladles of water.
Yeah, you've got ladle, and he's like, "Oh, that's the one right there. You, Nefim, get over here."
"Oh, sure, my lord." And I come sidling up. And I'm going to use my ability on him because I see he's in fancy pants clothes. So I'm going to give you my winning smile right off the bat. I want to charm you.
What is it? Let's roll it.
So
see what happens.
It's my charm versus your discipline. But
okay, so the way this is called a contested roll. This is where you're not rolling against the world. You're rolling against another player. Mm-hmm. And there will be a winner and a loser in theory. So first you're going to compare skills. And the card should tell you what stats get compared.
So it's my fellowship is 4.
Against
and, does it say what it's against?
And it's against his discipline.
Willpower is 3.
Okay, so if the two players are equal, it's 2 dice.
2 difficulty.
Difficulty. If one player has an advantage over the other, mm-hmm. it's 1 difficulty. And if it's the other way around, it stays 2 until it like gets pretty hard. So you're going to have a 1 difficulty check here.
We need dice.
Yes, don't screw this one up.
First dice roll of the game. This is going to set
if
the
I
tone.
Fail, it doesn't do anything. It's just if I succeed, I successfully influence you to like me.
Whoa. Yeah, but if you fail, then you're just like this pandering.
Well, I'm already that.
All right, go ahead. So if anybody needs some reminders on how these rolls work, the blue dice are 1 for 1 on your characteristic. So if your characteristic says 3 for strength, you grab 3 blue dice.
If I was trained in discipline, what would that add?
So being trained adds a yellow die. These are the best dice, only positive things happen.
But how, if I was trained
as the target?
I believe
that adds black dice to me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not, but...
Okay, and then the opposite of blue dice are the difficulty dice are the purple ones. White dice are, like, good factors. Mm-hmm. Black dice are bad factors. And you're going to create a pool and roll it.
Well, I should, you know... I'm being cautious about this. I don't want to overplay my hand. I'm not trying to, like, you know.
You should take a bad
pool.
Black dice because you're a prisoner.
Sure.
And I think poorly of you.
But I'm still charming.
Not charming prisoner.
All right. So not a. That cancels that. But I've still got 2 successes, a delay. So you're not warming up to me right away. But I've also got a boon and. Do we get anything from these? No, not yet.
Okay, so it takes you... Well, he succeeds, which means it takes him a while to come for you to come around to him, but it's happening. And you're like, I like this guy. This guy's worth it.
He's got moxie.
And basically, is you know, it doesn't matter right now, but effectively with this roll, I would have an extra white dice against all charm interactions with you for the rest of the scene.
And for the boon, the leftover eagle there, we're going to...
Okay.
You have the option of cashing it in on the card, or we can apply generic.
The thing on my card
effects.
Is only to buy off a stress, but I don't have any.
And I'm going to say the good effect here is that Brutus also likes you now. He's like this, like you were doing water there. That was good work. That was good work. Good efficiency there.
Well, wow, you're on a tight ship here, Brutus.
So, what do you want to see him for?
The witch hunter wants him. Needs his help.
What do you mean, wants him?
Maybe he did something bad.
Like you want him to leave here?
Who wants me?
Yeah. For a little while. I'll bring him back.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
Unless the witch hunter, like, persecutes him. He didn't say that about that part.
And you think I'm just gonna let you take him?
Yeah.
He says,
that's better than being here, right?
Well, for me. Brutus, though. He doesn't want to get in trouble, right, Brutus? You don't want to get in trouble.
In trouble? What for?
Well, like letting me go without the right paperwork and all that, but that means you're going to have to do all that paperwork.
He did have some paperwork.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then you're in the clear, Brutus.
What did it say?
It says I'm free, right?
Says
free to go with you.
Says with your name on there.
Well, I'm remanded into his custody.
Remanded?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be worth a... that'll either be guile...
Sure.
...or some kind of persuasion roll.
That.
With my intelligence of 2, I'm looking at the paperwork trying to figure
so
out...
So since you've already kind of befriended him through your winning smile earlier,
mm-hmm.
you can take a bonus white dice for this roll.
Okay.
Brutus, is this remanded?
What's my difficulty?
Brutus is like,
so this will be a contested roll again against...
What's Brutus's discipline?
Brutus's discipline, let's give it a 3.
Okay, so I still beat him.
All right. A
so,
resounding
bunch of success. These cancel. That's a blank. Takes him a minute to come around, but I basically hammer it home.
All right, so he's like, right, that right there says remanded, right?
You're smarter than me. I can't read.
Yes, yes. And like other, he like looks around and sees other people around him kind of watching too. So he's like, you can tell he's like, he wants to sound like he knows what he's talking about, like authoritatively. So he's nodding and agreeing to a lot of things that you're saying right now.
All
right. And he says, right, so we're going to go back up there now.
Yeah, come with us.
Because these belong to the quarry. We got to get these off.
Yeah, and as you're walking, he comes out and he unlocks them and tosses them to one of the other guards.
Yes.
And you guys make it up top, and he says, right, so you're going to come back when?
When he brings me.
Right, okay. And so I'll see you soon.
Yes. Right. As soon as the witch hunter's done. Roll him.
On the 11th.
Alright. Alright then, I'm gonna go back to work.
Carry on, this way.
Yes, sir.
Alright, so Brutus disappears back down the path.
What are you looking for?
Character sheet. Oh. Okay.
Alright. So, Chris, you have just been what you have to assume was awkwardly rescued or something from this quarry.
I'm not.
By a stranger.
I'm out of my shackles. I've had somewhere I probably don't want to go, but at least I'm free, so I'm going with it for now.
So don't run off now.
Well, why would I do that?
Good.
I kind of size you up. I'm like, don't I know you? You're from around here, right?
Yeah, I'm Marienburger.
All right. I've seen you.
Yeah.
I don't know your name. Mine's Neffin.
Leo. Of well, the Kaufman family.
All right, Leo. So, Witch Hunter,
I'm
really?
I'm sure you've heard of my father.
Oh, most definitely. But, is it really about a witch hunter? What's going on?
Oh, we're going on an adventure. It'll be grand.
Right.
You said something about you being a little sly and being able to possibly get into certain areas, which makes me think it's that silver tongue of yours.
Wow, it's unwarranted.
Really?
No, maybe not. Well, off we go then.
Yeah.
I'm following you.
To Wally World.
Like
the Winklemart.
Winklemart. No. He's the brains of the operation.
So you guys make it back to town by nightfall. And by nightfall, you guys, it's really no use exploring much further that night. It's probably a good time to explore the next morning, the Winklemart, because that's where you're going to be meeting Roderick anyway, and the... in one of the taverns nearby there.
Okay.
And Layla, what was your character's name again?
Edwig.
Edwig. So, shortly before dusk...
With a silent H.
Edwig. Edwig with a silent H. So, shortly before dark, a small street urchin comes up to you, and she hands you a rolled-up parchment. And it you can already tell that it is fine quality paper,
mm-hmm.
and there's a little wax seal, purple wax, you know, with a ribbon around it, and it's very, very tightly woven. It's very small, and she hands it to you and says, I was told to deliver this to you.
Okay.
Someone to your description, right here.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. She hands it to you and runs off.
Okay. I'll go ahead and unwrap it.
Okay. So you break the seal.
Yeah.
And pull it open. And inside of it, in very nice handwriting, in like a calligraphic...
Can I read?
Somehow, I don't know, can you?
I want to say I can, because I...
So we're operating here on... We'll have to decide, because you're from Bretonnia, which doesn't operate necessarily on the same education scale as the Empire, but on some levels it kind of does, if you're peasant level.
But I'm so driven by obtaining knowledge that I feel like I at least can read basics... If not,
well,
the more...
How about this? This thing...
She could have been like a scullery maid in a monastery and picked up reading and writing in her quest.
I could be down with that. Does that
sure.
work? Maybe that was part of your intrigue into the world.
Sure.
Okay, so while you're not versed
yeah.
in languages, you have a rudimentary understanding. You look at this, though, and it even though you don't understand what it's saying,
mm-hmm.
it's speaking to you. Like, not verbally, but, like, you're understanding it even though you really know you probably shouldn't be.
Okay.
And what it's telling you is, come to this place, which you can't really describe in words, but you know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, come this evening.
Okay. I will go.
Okay. So as the night carries on and it becomes dark. You begin, it just kind of through just attraction.
Yeah,
it is guiding
intrigued.
You through the city.
Right.
And you're going here and there and you work your way up and down the streets into some different districts. And you work your way into what appears to be a rather wealthy district. But it's nighttime, there's not much out. There's some street lanterns and things like that on. And you come up to a home that is, you know, walled on the outside, but the gate is ajar.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, it's quite dark.
The gate is ajar, but the...
That's very zen. The gate is ajar.
So the beyond the
is the is this townhouse type.
But it's
thing.
Dark. The light. There's no lights on.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I'm gonna quietly go inside the gate, but I want to check out the perimeter of the house. Like, can I like?
So it's like if you picture like a. Like English townhouses where they're kind of like up against each other. There's no
oh.
like separations in between. Each one has kind of like a little frontage gated yard.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. So it's a multi-story house with a front door, but it's not ostentatiously large or anything, but it is in a nice area of town.
Can I use my intuition to gather whether like there's anything amiss or suspicious or...
Sure. Let me see. Is intuition the best one for that? You just kind of like want to get a sense of the world. So observation would be more like physically observing. Intuition could be used to check a person, or I suppose it could be used to check a situation. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
That's more what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So make an intuition roll, and you're going to be at 2 difficulty.
Okay.
So what do you need
4,
here?
And then this means I get a yellow die?
Yep. That's called a specialization die,
yes.
Or yellow one.
And that's all I need?
That's all. I think that's all you need for now, yeah.
I don't need red or green dice.
And it's dark out.
You can shift one slot. You start neutral, but you can shift for free at the start of your turn one space in either direction.
I'll go conservative.
In which case you would replace a blue die
yeah.
with the appropriate color.
Ooh.
All right, so get rid of the empty ones right away, because those mean nothing.
So I have a comet, a chaos star, and a boon left.
All right. So I was rereading the rules for some of these things just so we can remind ourselves. The comet and the chaos star do not cancel each other out. They both happen, if applicable. And they trigger off of a card first, and then if there's nothing else for it to do on a card, we come up with our own effects for it. So you get... Did you have any successes, though?
No.
Okay, so you have the option of converting the comet into a success instead if you want to succeed at your task. Otherwise, it's going to fail.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so it succeeds, but with a chaos star.
Yeah.
You take a sense of the situation, and you get the sense... You are certain that you are being watched, but you're not sure where from.
Okay. I can actually... I have something called Wild Sight.
Here, read it for us.
So it... It says 3 power animal within close range. While this card is recharging, you share vision with a friendly small animal without flight. You can see what the animal sees. You can target an
That's
animal
cool.
that can fly if you add purple to your a purple die to your dice pool. I have my mouse familiar,
mm-hmm.
so I can use that as my sight.
Okay.
So I'm going to discreetly send him off to go kind of just, I don't know, check out closer to the townhouse, maybe go off to the side of the gate a little bit.
Okay, so let's try and cast the spell first.
Yeah.
This will be our first casting roll of the game, too. This will be good. So by default... Every casting roll has a 0 difficulty,
mm-hmm.
unless you're channeling in the same turn. You don't know how to channel yet, so that's irrelevant.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is roll a spell casting roll,
mm-hmm.
which is this. So that's going to be intelligence-based.
Okay.
So you're going to roll 4 dice plus whatever benefits you may or may not have. Some spells in the top left corner underneath the top left icon may
mm-hmm.
have dice symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Those get added to your pool.
Okay. That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, one other thing. What just because the first time we're doing it, I'm getting used to it. What, is this a hedge magic spell?
Yeah,
or
this is a hedge magic
okay,
spell. Does it count
socketed.
As a rank 1 spell?
does it say rank one?
Yeah.
Then yes.
So that means I get a white die?
Yep.
Okay. Because I have a specialization in that. Okay, so it says one hammer, I cast a spell, so I have...
Two hammers.
I have two hammers, a delay, and
a bane.
Yeah.
Okay, does anything else trigger, or just a...
No, it just says you cast the spell.
All right. So you now, your vision blurs for a moment and then kind of reforms in a very tunnel vision version of what the rodent sees on your shoulder.
Yeah. No, I already sent him off.
Okay, then you see him, like, scurrying around the outskirts of the...
Yeah.
On the edge of the walled gate.
And I need, like, a recharge token or something.
Yeah, let me get some beads for us. We won't need them for tonight. We'll do it for later.
Okay.
Nothing's really going to be that relevant tonight.
Okay.
And so he's scouting around, and it's dark, but he has pretty good vision at night. And you also have his kind of sensory elements that are kind of feeding into
you.
Yeah,
so does he, like, see anything?
So he's scouting outside or inside?
He'll scout the perimeter of the fence, and mm-hmm. then he'll head in towards the townhouse.
So the outside fenced area appears to be a well-maintained yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some shrubs, but they're well-kept.
Okay.
And otherwise, it's very clean.
Okay, and as he gets closer to the townhouse?
Yep, you get up to the townhouse, and there's a couple steps up, which he can't quite see up there, but he can see from his angle that the front door is also ajar.
Also ajar. Okay. And are there windows up top?
Yes. Most of them are shuttered.
Okay. So if I look up, then there's nothing.
No, there's nothing. They're shuttered or have, like, heavy weather drapes, like, having been closed.
All right. Okay. I will take the chance and cautiously go up to the door.
All right. You walk up to the door.
I will gently and quietly push the door open before I step in.
You push it open. It opens quietly, well-oiled. You know, and you walk in, and while the house is dark, you sense there's a slight glow coming from a room down the hall. You can see that there's candlelight or perhaps a fire lit, which is illuminating part of the hallway.
What is the 3 power and 4 power and 5 power thing?
That's how many of your reservoir power it costs to cast that spell. So you are now down to 1 power.
Okay. Oh, I can't even cast these then. How do I get more power?
So you have 5 total.
Oh,
with your familiar, because your 4, your willpower is your power reserve plus 1 for the familiar.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so you said there was a fire somewhere?
Yeah, there's a fire illuminating the hallway, like there is a study or something down the hall that has something in it.
So before I go inside the house, I'll just peek in with my head and say hello?
You don't hear anything, but you get a sense of, not of danger, but of, like, come in.
All right, I'll have my familiar run in ahead of me towards the fireplace and see if there's anybody hiding or shrouding.
So it runs up to the doorway, pokes its head in, and you can see a rather ostentatiously decorated sitting room
uh-huh.
with a fire on one side in the hearth, and and you see a woman with dark hair, nicely buttoned up into a rather fancy updo,
mm-hmm.
and she's sitting in a chair, and there's an empty chair across from her.
Okay, I mean, the fact that it's a woman makes me feel a little more encouraged, so I will, I'll tread lightly, but I'll go in.
Okay, so you walk in.
And I'll say, I'm coming in.
And you actually hear a voice this time,
mm-hmm.
and it's very soft yet authoritative, and it beckons you to come in
mm-hmm.
and sit down.
All right. I do it.
All right. You sit down, and this woman is, she introduces herself. My name is Selena Rieva. And she takes a moment to see if you recognize the name.
I don't.
And she smiles, and it doesn't seem to bother her.
Although I do have a folklore skill.
You could roll folklore.
Sure. It's my intelligence. What's the difficulty?
Let's go 3. 4. 4.
Oh, 4. Wow, okay.
You're not from this area.
But I've been here a long time.
True. It's okay.
Wow. Hammer. These cancel out. So those can't. I have two boons left.
Two boons. All right. You have not heard of her before.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem to bother her. She introduces herself and says, I'm a widower. And, well, this home, it's where I've been staying for quite some time since my husband left me. And he left me a considerable sum, as you can imagine. But, you see, there's this... Something's happened recently in town, and it's something that I'd like very much to know more about as I grow later in life and I start pondering what will happen to me. And I'm very keen to know if this recent events are something that could benefit me as I proceed in towards the end of my life.
Well, I'm pretty in tune with what's happening in the city.
So you've heard of this Crusade of the Child?
Yeah, I would have heard of it.
Okay. So this is something, and I can give you a little more background on this in a moment, but, and she says, well, or for that matter, tell me what you know, and I'll tell you what you know.
Whatever you told Jeremy is what I know.
No, you know more than that. You know more than that, but this is for everybody's benefit, because this is something you guys all have learned over the course of the last several days, and this is going to kind of set the scene for the adventure. So, Marienburg flushed with refugees, right? The city was to the point of bursting. And, you know, to the point where people are converting their homes into apartments, the chapels and everything are just overflowing, people are living on the streets, there's increased crime. Really, just things suck, and they suck hard right now for Marienburg. However, all of a sudden, one day, this, like, ripple of excitement went through kind of generating from the Winkelmarkt out. And the what happened, you're not entirely sure, but some event took place there, and all of a sudden there's talk of Sigmar Reborn. And to the point where people are believing this and it's happening. And out of kind of almost overnight, parts of the town have just emptied and people have left. And that's kind of the state you guys are now in. The city is still the city, but like certain sections of town have fractions of the amount of people they used to have. Mm. And that's essentially what you guys have learned so far.
Okay.
There's holes to be filled there still, but that's the common knowledge starting spot.
So.
And she says, I am a Sigmar fearing woman. And I feel as if his rebirth is true, this is something I would very much like to know more about.
So what do you want from me?
Well, I could certainly offer you money.
I'm not very interested in money.
She has, you can already sense next to her, there's like this pouch that you presume is filled with coins.
Yeah.
And she was already reaching for it and then kind of stops and says, what does interest you? And you can see her kind of like, either she's incredibly good at reading people or something else is going on, because she's looking like at you, not like a normal person looks at someone.
I'm actually inclined to do this for her, even if she doesn't give me anything, because I'm kind of interested.
Are you telling her this?
I'm going to tell her I will not say no to your money, but I will do this for you. Regardless.
I'm pleased to hear that, she says in a very, like, kind of monotone
mm-hmm.
way. And,
you just want information, right?
She nods.
Like, how exactly do you feel I should go about this?
She gives you a place to start,
mm-hmm.
where the rumors that she heard began, which
mm-hmm.
is the Winkelmarkt. And she says she would like you to tell her or come back to her once you've learned something that you think is of value.
Sure, I can do that.
And she says that if she can't pay you in coin, she'll find other ways to pay you. or other ways to compensate you.
Like I said, I won't turn down her coin. Whatever she wants to, but I'm not going to negotiate with her. Whatever she wants to give me is fine.
So she kind of asks you, is 5 gold enough?
Sure.
More money than you make in your whole life.
I literally have no sense of money whatsoever.
So since you don't have any sense of money, that's fine.
Yeah.
For anybody else who just for the listeners, that's the equivalent of probably more money than a peasant would see in their life, but like for other people, that's a small fortune.
So do I get this ahead of time, or do I get this at the end?
She very casually hands you 5 coins from her purse there.
Mm-hmm.
You got the sense there's probably 100 in there.
Okay.
And she hands them to you.
Can I have
she's very flippant about
it. Can I
have
the cute pouch to put them in?
She looks at it and says, perhaps on our next visit.
All right, fine. I just don't want to be jingly.
She bids you a good night and says, perhaps you'll come and visit me again tomorrow night.
Oh, that quickly? Okay.
Or the night after that.
Sure.
And then and she says, I'm sure you can see yourself out.
Can I ask you, why no lights?
She beckons. She shows the fire and says, "It's a big house to take care of.
It's a little creepy from the outside. I'm just saying.
I'm comfortable this way."
All right. I put the 5 gold pieces like in one of my really hidden pockets in my robes.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody will be able to find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you head out.
Sure.
All right. And you
I'll
head
take
out.
My familiar with me. Does she know about him?
I don't know. Maybe. And you walk outside and you know, you still kind of get the feeling you're being watched, but otherwise you leave the grounds and you're back outside.
All right.
So the night rolls on, goes to a close. It's a beautiful morning, and from there we'll pick up kind of the main story next time. With that, I'll give you guys a little more overview of Marienburg next time, and we'll pick up on our investigation into the Crusade of the Child.
I'm still there.
You still what?
I'm still there in the morning.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you haven't run off yet.
If you run away, I will shoot you for speeding.